If you're taking your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, we're going to begin to look at verses 1 through 20. Don't get upset. It's not as long as it thinks. You think it is, right? It's like the doctor said, it's going to be painless surgery. Start counting it from 10 down. And I always got to about 9, and that was it, you know. But chapter 15. In chapter 15, we see Jesus addressing the legalistic oral traditions of the scribes and Pharisees that they put into place, added some 300 of their own rules to the Torah and made them like Scripture. In fact, they even superseded Scripture, and they put a weight and a bondage on the Jewish people to try to keep them. So Jesus begins to go after them. From this point on, Jesus in Matthew is beginning to call his disciples to him, teaching them about the kingdom and things that must come to pass. And he's already hardened his heart toward the scribes and Pharisees because they've already hardened their hearts toward him. And so we begin in chapter 15 as we look at a contrast between superficial religion and supernatural regeneration. And as I told you this morning, our land is full of churches with superficial religion and not true repentance and faith in Christ. Supernatural regeneration exalts the Word of God and produces holiness in the heart, and will then in turn reach out to the whole world with the gospel. So we're going to look at it tonight. Let's begin in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to read it as we go tonight. We want to see, first of all, their accusation, the scribes and Pharisees making an accusation about something that the disciples of Jesus, they felt like, did wrong. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Boy, picky, 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 right? Now, what they're talking about here, these religious leaders were constantly looking for something to accuse Jesus with. They couldn't get him. They went after his disciples. So many people believed that right here there was some kind of official committee out of the council at Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, was going out, following Jesus around, looking for something they can get him. Of course, they could find nothing. Okay, they accused Christ's disciples of violating the tradition of the Jewish elders by going through the ceremonial washings when they ate, not going through the ceremonial. And what they added to the law was they insisted that when the Jews ate, they should put their hands through an elaborate cleansing process. You remember when your mom and daddy used to say, wash your hands, right? But I guarantee you, it was nothing like these guys wanted to do. They wanted to wash their hands, not just the hands, but they wanted to wash up the arm all the way to the elbow. And if they had been in the marketplace, they were supposed to have a ceremonial bath. Now, I don't know how that played out, but they're in the marketplace. The Pharisees criticized the disciples for failing to observe the very details of the washings prescribed by the Jewish tradition. So that was their accusation, right? And I would say today, in Ken's language, is that all you got, right? But they keep in mind that these Pharisees honored the traditions above the written word of God. Let me prove it to you. The Mishnah, which is a collection of Jewish traditions, says this: "It is a greater offense to teach anything contrary to the voice of the rabbis than to contradict Scripture itself," right? Rabbi Eliezer said this: "He who expounds the Scriptures in opposition to the tradition has no share in the world to come." In other words, if their oral traditions, if the Scripture, the real Scripture, violated their oral traditions, then you're not going to heaven, you know? And you find that in Matthew 23, 25, and 26. So that was their accusation. Now, Christ gives an answer to that. And he comes down on them pretty hard in verses 3 through 9. And what I want to do is read verses 3 through 9, and I'm going to make some comments about that. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?" See, they wanted to keep the traditions. God said you need to keep the commandments of God. And then he goes on to tell them how they were violating the Word of God. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And the seventh commandment, he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whatsoever shall hit to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mayest profit by it. In other words, they were getting away from taking care of their mother and father by declaring their income as a gift from God, and it's already consecrated to the temple. And so when the mom and dad came to them for help, they said, no, this is already dedicated to God, right? Violating the word of God over their oral traditions. Verse 6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. In other words, you're not held to try to take care of your mother and father if you just tell a lie that you dedicated this to the temple. And the Bible says, thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites. Well, they weren't from a pulpit committee, were they? He said, ye hypocrites. Why did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, and he gives an Old Testament prophecy about these people. He said this in verse 8, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, you ever seen anybody like that? A lot of talk, but the heart is far from him, right? They honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me. It's useless, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, as we look at Christ's answer here, he begins to really go after them. And note how Christ always uses the word of God, right here and everywhere else, to silence his accusers. He points them to their own disobedience to the commandments in Exodus 20 and also in Exodus 21. And by dedicating their possessions to God, the Pharisees released themselves from any obligation to care for their parents. Y'all know how I feel about that. I've been here 19 years preaching this. We need to honor our father and mother, no matter how they treated us. We need to honor our mother and father, right? And I always, you know, my dad didn't always treat me right, you know. But I was by his bedside when he died. Honor your father and mother, and your days will be long, is what the commandment says. So how many religious people there are even today carefully keep traditions, their own man-made traditions, yet openly deny the word of God? And you may not be as aware of many as I am, but the tradition supersedes and goes above the word of God. I can't tell you the number of churches that use their bylaws to stifle the Holy Spirit in the local church. This is what is happening. Bylaws are just parliamentary rules and regulations to conduct business. They're not to supersede the Word of God. So Jesus, in verse 7, quotes Isaiah 29:13 to show their religion was not of the heart, but it merely external actions. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount was all about, wasn't it? They missed the main lesson of the Sermon on the Mount. True righteousness comes from within. It's not what we do. You know, we can do and do and do and do, but it's not in what we do. It's what he did on the cross, right? So it begins with the heart. But the scribes and Pharisees, many others today, did not want to spend money for the support of their aged parents. So they devised a tradition. See, they schemed and devised. I could name you what party they would probably have been under back then, right? But they devised a tradition to avoid the responsibility. And when the mom and dad, father and mother, would ask for help, they would recite this. This is actually what they would recite. Any money which I have and could have been used to support you has been dedicated to God. Therefore, I cannot give it to you. That's what they would actually quote. And having recited this quote, so-called formula, they were free from financial responsibility to their parents. So they followed these devious traditions that were meant to stifle and nullify the word of God, which God commanded them to care for their parents. And then in verses 10 and 11, we see Christ's announcement, if you will. Look what verse 10 and 11 says. And he called the multitude. So he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. 10 and 11, he's talking to the multitude. He'll go back to the disciples, verse 12. But in verse 10, he said, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. I mean, he's rebuking them right in front of all the people, right? It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defileth a man. You know, when we first started our chili contest, we got a plaque back there in the kitchen. That's the scripture on the plaque. No matter how bad the chili is, it's not going to defile you, right? And we got that on the plaque there. So it's not what you eat, it's what action comes out of you, right? In verse 10 and 11, Christ addresses the entire multitude and openly declares war on the Pharisees and scribes and elders of their traditions. Previously he had referred to the scripture, but now he uses a plain logical argument to show their error. Now, how can foods defile a man when they do not go into his heart, right? They go into his stomach. It might give you an upset stomach, but it's not going to defile you, right? That was the point of Jesus. And the Pharisees saw in this, you know, he's coming after us. Why not? They've been coming after him, right? And basically declare war on him and begin to look for a way to kill him. And then in verses 12 through 20, we see a long, lengthy narrative here about Christ gives them an example of what he's talking about. In verses 12 through 20, let's look at that. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Put it in today's term, people would come to the pastor after the service and say, you offended people today, right? Didn't you know you offended them? Well, when the word of God offends them, hey, I can't help that. But if I offend them, I'll apologize for that. But I'm not going to apologize for the word. But we put it in layman's term right there. But he answered and said in verse 13, now here's the example he gives. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. In other words, Jesus is saying, they think they're going to heaven by their traditions, but they're not of God, right? They're going to be rooted up. So I ain't worried, Jesus basically saying, I ain't worried about whether they got offended or not because they're not of God. And then he says in verse 14, let them alone. Notice this. Notice what Jesus said about these hardened Pharisees and scribes that have been turned over. He said, let them alone, that they blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Let me turn the page. That whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and has come out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with an unwashing hands defileth not a man. Now, I'm glad there's no children here to say, Mama, see there, I don't have to wash my hands. But you got to put it in its context, right? Every disciple was astonished at what Jesus said. Peter called this plain teaching a parable. So he didn't understand. It's not a parable. It's the plain truth. How hard it is for men to break away from men's traditions and believe God's simple truth, holiness, right? We want to finagle it. We want to work around it. We want to somehow or another dress it up. When we share the gospel, we got to dress it up. And I've even heard this in my ministry. More souls are going to join the church if you have a blue shirt on, right? It's just ridiculous, things like that. And come to think of it, I only got one blue shirt and I don't wear it. Maybe I need to start wearing it, right? Can't you see Paul and Silas going on a missionary journey? And Paul says to Silas, "Are you packing a blue shirt, Silas? I heard that they're more receptive to the gospel with a blue shirt," right? No, it's none of us. It's all of God, right? And then in verse 19, Christ explains a matter of what comes out of the heart. People often blame the devil, right? The devil made me do it, right? We have three enemies, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we often like to blame the world or the devil, but really we sin when we're tempted from our own desires, our own sinful desires, right? Our own sin nature, Adamic nature that we get from Adam. So we like to pass the buck and blame, but people often blame the devil for their sins listed here, that's listed in verse 19, a list of sins. This is not an exhaustive list of sins. This, again, like all the sins listed in the Bible, they're representative of an unregenerate heart, right, that doesn't know God. People don't go to hell because they do these things. They do these things because they go into hell, right? They don't know Jesus Christ here. People often blame the devil for that. This is why people must be born again with new hearts, right? This heart, unregenerate heart, will send you to hell. But you must be born again. And then you can behave like a Christian. So as we look at this, we must constantly remind ourselves that true religion, or true Christianity, comes from the heart. We believe with the heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We love from the heart, Matthew 22:37. We sing from the heart, right? Colossians 3:16. We obey from the heart, Romans 6:17. And we give from the heart, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And we pray from the heart in the book of Psalms. So Jesus is pinpointing here to them the difference between your human traditions that violate the commandments of God, and you've added to the Word of God, and you've taken to the Word of God, and you are going to be rooted up because God didn't plant you, right? Right to the point, right? Father, tonight, as we, no invitation tonight, Father, tonight as we close, help us to evaluate our life that we may not have any man-made traditions. There's nothing wrong with traditions per se, but there's something greatly wrong with traditionalism. Our guide is the Word of God, the commandments of God. That's what we go by. And Lord, help us not be like these scribes and Pharisees and elders and the Sanhedrin of that day, and determine we're going to be the one that's going to qualify how people go to heaven. But Lord, help us to be lovers of your word and your commandments. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah.